listening to Rising with Sky Bar. You have Sal Baglio coming in at the bottom of the hour, around 8:30 or so. Really looking forward to that. Once again, WMFR in Medford, Rising with Sky Bar. Here's some new stuff by Andrea Gillis.
As humans, we ask ourselves all kinds of questions. But what if we were forced to ask ourselves a question every day that affected the outcome of the most basic things, the most important things in our lives? The question is, what is your sexual orientation or gender identity? And the answer is the difference between keeping your job or getting fired. The answer is the difference between staying in your home or getting evicted. The answer is the difference between receiving medical treatment or not. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against people based on their answer to this question. LGBT Americans have the right to say, "I do," but they don't have the same basic rights as everyone else. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
You do.
Played a lot of new stuff there. That was Natalie Sweet and Brad Marino, song called Second Time off a single. I believe they'll have some sort of full length coming out. That's on Rumbar Records. The Young Hasselhoffs with Life Got in the Way, and brand new Andrea Gillis, I Don't Need You No More. That's a Jay Giles cover. It's 8:09. I'm going to play an older band now that have had a revival of sorts. These are the Dogmatics.
Give me. So I take a sip, put that bottle to my lips. That's all. That's it.
Mom, I'm your Jerry Bob. nothing to do now but wanting to ease my state of mind. Faded leaves through panes of glass. We all know that summer never lasts. Sometimes it's hard to remember that when winter comes, it comes on fast. Children
brand new Robin Lane. Name of the album is Dirt Road to Heaven. It's out on Red on Red Records. That song I played was called Faded Leaves. Street Walking Cheetahs before that with Cherry Bomb. That is an all cover. It's an all covers album I guess they got coming out. Cherry Curry was featured on that as well, on that Cherry Bomb number. Already Gone with a song called Stability. And of course the Dogmatics with Gimme the Shakes. It's 821 WMFO in Medford. We should have Sal up here shortly. This is something by a band called Susie, Sister Susie.
I know what I want to make me guess you know what it is. the moment I was born. I only knew the time was right on that October morn. I landed here without a plan. I opened up my eyes, and pretty soon I figured out I'd won the booby prize. Everybody knows, up to now it's eluded me, was never even close. I don't know if it exists, I know it can't be bought, and when I got a taste of it, it wasn't what I thought.
Slave for rock and roll. So
right, you just heard Shag 72. Before that, Kevin Stevenson from the Shards. Here's some new stuff out. That was called Saturday Morning Coming Down. Sister Susie, Are You Gonna Give Me a Kiss? Robin Lane, Faded Leaves, of her new release, Dirt Road to Heaven. I'm here with Sal Baglio. How you doing, Sal?
I'm good, man.
Thanks
so
much
for
coming in. I was saying off air before we went on that late 70s, really, probably like 78 or 9, early 80s, one of the first bands locally that I would see would be the Stompers. So you guys were kind of like a gateway to the local music scene, and you're still at it. You're still putting music out, Amplify Heads, Peppermint Kicks, more new stuff that we'll get to in a bit. But so thanks for the music, and it must be rewarding to still be able to do it after all. You didn't have new stuff, you know, still be active, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, first, let me just say thank you for sharing that with me, man. It means a lot. It really does. Yeah, to be doing it after all this time is, you know, I've never known any other thing. This is all I've known.
Right. So, you know? Yeah, and I hear that a lot. Like, some musicians, they're like, that's it for... I think Dave Minahan's kind of like that. Now he does, you know, he's at the studio. But
right, right. He's still in it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, it's music. That's it. That's his life. That's what he does for a livelihood. That's what he does. And it's similar to you. I guess that's what you do.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You know, I was a little kid. You know, I caught the bug early. And, you know... pre-Beatles, but then after the Beatles thing, it was just madness, you know. My had an older brother, took me to see Hard Day's Night, summer of 64. I was just like, I think this is what I'd like to do.
Yeah.
You know, and nobody told me you can't. I mean, you know, I think people just said, oh, yeah, yeah, that's what you'll do. And I did it, you know. I mean,
yeah.
I became a musician is what I did. And, but, you know, music was all around my house, you know, my dad, my older brother.
So you came from a musical family.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so, you know, and in like, I don't know, 68 or 69, my folks got me a reel-to-reel tape recorder. It was a two-track tape recorder. My brother taught me how to bounce and get four tracks out of it, and I never came out of my room. After that, I mean, literally, I just never.
Your parents like, what's the matter with Sal? I don't know. He won't leave the room. So the Stompers, did you know those guys growing up? Like, how early did that form?
So I was, you know, at the end of my teens when I formed that band. But I like to say that was my teenage band because that was the idea was, you know, I'm gonna form a band and we're gonna be famous and we're gonna be you know,
yeah, your head, make your records, head's full of grandeur. Yeah,
absolutely. And in a lot of ways it was it was like a kind of a fantasy come true with that band. When you're that young, there's no I certainly and I probably the guys in the band as well, you have no, there's nothing in your head that says this isn't going to happen.
Yeah.
You know?
You still believe. You're not, like, jaded. You're not, like,
Yeah, yeah, right. You're full of excitement, and the fact that you don't know a lot of things is probably a good way of the world, you know? And, you know, all we wanted to do when we started was, you know, there were two places to play. It was the Rat and the Club in Cambridge.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Been to many this other... Is, yeah, I've been to them many times.
Obviously. This is before, you know... bands were playing Swifts and Bun Raddies and all the rest. This was 77.
This was early in.
You know, I mean, the Rat had started already, like, before it was called the Rat, you know, like 74, 75, 76. I started going there probably in 76 to see bands, you know. A lot of my friends, you know, John Macy with Fox Pass. And I'd see Cowboy with Thunder Train. I'd say, man, this is great. You know, I had gotten out of high school and was playing in a cover band because that's what you did.
Yeah.
You know? I'm like, well, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to put my band together, you know? And so that's where I got the idea. I was like, wow, these bands are doing it. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And that's when I met the other guys. You know, we just we didn't know each other before that. They were from all over the place.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, weren't like childhood friends.
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
And I mean, the band was wild.
In a way, we were, because we were so young when we met. You know.
Yeah. But the band was wildly successful. I mean, yeah, I know you did some work, not work, but did you back up the Beach Boys and Giles on an occasion or two? Or?
Well, you know, there were a bunch of bands from Boston that got those shots, you know. And when we were definitely one of them. We got more than our share of them. We opened for Giles, Beach Boys. I mean, I can't even remember half of the ones. I mean, just anybody that came through, whether it worked and did, because a lot of times it didn't work.
Right.
You know, oh, let's get the Stompers to open for Roxy Music. Well, that's not a good match, but, you know, it teaches you how to take a punch.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know. Yeah. So later on when we were opening for Billy Idol, like at the top of his, you know, his success and the MTV and all that, you know, we knew how to take the girl in a white wedding dress giving us the finger every night.
Right.
You know,
you go, yeah, you get weathered.
You know, that's how you learn.
Yeah.
We played with so many people. And most of the time it was a gas. Most of the time it was a gas, you know. The Ramones and Southside Johnny and, you know.
Legends.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great experience, you know. And then what happened was then we were headlining those same places. So I mean, when we played with Giles, I always tell this story. I mean, it was before we even had a record deal. I think it was 1980. So we had been around a little bit.
Yeah.
Right. We played with them at a, you know, Cape Cod Coliseum and the Providence Civic Center and all these arenas.
Yeah.
And so we came back to play whatever club in town. You know, you couldn't get in the door. There was lines down the street because 20,000 people saw us opening for them.
Yeah.
And that match was good.
Right.
You know, because that's where we were coming from.
Similar genre, similar style.
Yeah, sure.
Similar style. Yeah.
Burn the house down. Raise the roof. That was the whole thing about that band.
But like everything, I guess it ran its course. And that's expected.
Yeah.
You want to try new things. You want to, new musical adventures. So I guess that's normal. And
absolutely. The thing about the Stompers is it ran its course, probably. I mean, we started in 77, so by 87 we had had a really good 10 years.
That's a great run.
So that's a good run. And I would say, you know, that's like two rounds of college, right? You know what I mean? That's like, because I was telling you earlier, we played Tufts like in probably 78. You know, it was
some cafeteria somewhere.
I think it was like outside in front of a fraternity house.
Okay,
it was Animal House. That was, the Stompers were made for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
I was at many a show. Yeah.
I believe we were playing outside in front of a frat house, you know, 78. You know, and then we came back around to play, you know, the auditorium or the gymnasium or something like that, you know. But and that's how it was back in those days. You know, it wasn't just us. It was
a handful of bands
that you mentioned from era was,
did that.
They were playing the same circuit. It was a wonderful time. Think about that.
Oh,
how many venues there were for bands to play original music. You had to play original music. They wouldn't book you if you were a cover band.
Which I think is good, but
it's great.
Yeah.
We've regressed now.
Oh. By leaps and bounds.
We've gone backwards.
Yeah, by leaps and bounds, But so was it hard? Did you find it hard bringing the Stomper audience, for lack of a better word, along to your newer material, your newer bands, your newer...
Well, they didn't come. They didn't come along. No. No. It's interesting. You know, people...
That is a little interesting.
At one point I thought, well, they'll just come along, right? Mm. Isn't that what people do? They follow somebody and they grow along with
them.
You
follow the leader, kind of.
But
and you were in a kind of way with a leader, and when you do new musical ventures, people would follow along.
But that hasn't happened, and it's not going to happen. And so here's why. First of all, the last new song the Stompers ever did was in 1985.
Yeah.
Right? Now, we lasted up until 2021.
Truly the amazing popularity, right? I mean, they kept coming out to see you.
They kept coming out to see us. To relive 1982 over and over again. And so somewhere, you know, I had to come to a place with that. And so in some ways, the Stompers became my day job, where we'd go out and I knew that these people want to relive. We saw you at the Channel in 1980, you know. And so that's what we did. And I did it for as long as I could in earnest. And then as soon, since 2019 to now, I've put out more music than the Stompers did in 44 years.
Yeah. You've been prolific as hell the past couple of years.
And to talk just a wee bit about the audience not coming onto this new thing, what you have is that a lot of people, not everyone, but a lot of people listen to music with prejudice. So in other words, I never liked the Stompers. So, hey, you got to hear this new music by Sal. It's really something. Well, they're going to listen to it with prejudice.
Right.
So they're not going to be open to it.
Right.
Which goes for the same people who loved the Stompers, right? They just thought, it was just the greatest thing, right? And then you say, well, you know, I got something new now. Why don't you listen to it? And they listen to it, and it's not what you did 40 years ago.
They're
and
not
so,
willing to move. I hear you.
You know? And so I find myself in a weird place at this point of my life where it's all new again, you know?
It's good. It's great stuff, though. I love all your stuff. But you want to play one or two? And then we'll chat a bit more?
Sure.
But
you want me to play, or are you going to play it too?
You can play one, right?
Okay, I got to go grab my guitar.
I can pull up some in the interim while you get ready.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can pull something up. I can pull up whatever I had lined up, which could be many things. But yeah, grab your guitar and I'll get some stuff ready, yeah. Let's see what I'll go with. I'm gonna play Space Cadet.
Oh yeah, right, cool.
And then when we come back from Space Cadet, we'll have you do one or two.
All right.
This is Space Cadet.
Back.
That was Space Cadet by the Amplifier Heads. Yes. Brand new single. And Sal's going to strum one for us now.
I am. So Space Cadet was written... I was hired to write for a show. I don't know if I've told you about this. They Came to Rock was the name of the show.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine, Jamie Rubin, hooked me.
Yeah.
You know Jamie? Yes, yes. Modern Farmer. What was his band? He had a band.
I was trying to think of the same thing.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He was closely linked to...
I'm sorry, Jamie.
He was closely linked to Laurie Sargent and Face to Face back
then. Yeah, all those. Yeah. Yeah,
like everyone, it, you're all into
And he brought me in on this gig to write for a show called They Came to Rock, which is about aliens. You know, they heard rock and roll music on the radio, and that's why they came to Earth. And so it was kind of a cool thing, and I ended up writing like 10 or 11 songs for the show. And it was during the shutdown, so it was work too. But out of those tunes that I wrote, I was every time I'd write something, I'd go, man, I wish I could keep this for myself. I like this tune, you know? And Space Cadet was one of them. And they allowed me to cut that with the amplifier head. So that's kind of cool. I'll do this version of Glamorama, which was also a single from the record. Some of this stuff really happened. Remember all those kids in their platform shoes? They were singing Gene Genie back in 72. Watching the midnight special on a Friday night. The New York Dolls, T-Rex, all right. Glamorama. This is for all those girls who scream for more. Shouting rebel, rebel back in 74. Watching the midnight special on a Friday night. The New York Dolls, T-Rex, all right. Glamorama. This is for everybody out there who's left alive, who dug Fox on the run back in 75. Now all their kids are learning licks from a rock and roll record by the Peppermint Kicks. Glamorama. 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 What a time. Yeah.
Great. So so that speaks to a whole time of music. Yeah, great song.
Yeah, so that was
great song.
That was me looking at 1971, 2, 3, like that, you know, 15, 16 years old. That second big wave of British music came, you know. It was the end of the, it was kind of the end of the hippie thing and into the glam period. And, you know, I fell in love with a lot of that music, you know. It was just such a great time, too. It was still, you know, rock and roll was the center of our culture, you know. Everything revolved around, you know, whose record is coming out and,
yeah,
you know, let's go over to so-and-so's house and listen to whatever, you know, whatever it was.
And radio stations played it.
Oh, man. You know, we used to skip school in 73 and go up to the Prue and watch Maxanne and whoever do their show, the BCN show.
Yeah.
And then in a few short years, you know, I was on that station. So, you know, how I was saying it's a rock and roll fantasy
thing.
Man, it really
is. That's mind-blowing, yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So the amplifier heads came about just because you needed another vessel to get the music out there?
Exactly. I've been writing and recording. The first solo piece I think I put out was in 2000, maybe? 2003. It wasn't the amplifier heads, but it was new music. That was Rocky Rollins. That was the name I was going under.
You're trying to find yourself again.
Well, like, in a way, I was trying to distance myself from Sal Baglio.
Yeah, and get this new stuff.
Yeah, you know, I was trying to...
You're almost being typecast.
I was trying to let people listen to it without prejudice, you know. Yeah. But that's not, that wasn't to be, because that's just the nature of people. It's just the nature, you know.
Yeah.
So I've been writing and doing new music for decades, but I got really down to it with the amplifier heads in about 2019, and when the Louder CD came out, and then I just kept going from there.
Yeah,
and I'm not stopping anytime soon.
No, why why stop? You just kinda had a steam up. Well, let me talk about Lou for a minute. Lou Mansdorf. How'd you meet Lou?
So I met Lou through Dan Kopko. Dan and I had met on a gig that we were both playing on, and I dug his band, and we said hello, and then a couple of emails back and forth, and the next thing you know, we made a record and have a band, the Peppermint Kicks.
Yeah. Yeah, Lou's a great guy. One of the most enthusiastic supporters of his bands on his label that I know. I've met him roughly on the same thing. I met Lou by going to see, back in like 2007 or so, going to see Watts.
Yep.
And
yep.
Lou was at the shows as well, and obviously we were both big Watts fans, and that's how I met Lou. The funny thing, Lou started the label, I think the same year I started this, I think it was 2012-ish, he started the label. Yeah, Lou was... Is the best guy you can have behind you.
Listen, I love him. I call him Captain Lou.
Yeah.
So how I met him was through Dan. And, he put out the Peppermint Kicks record.
Yeah.
And I said, I sent him a couple of my tunes. And he's like, let's put that out, man, you know. I was touched and grateful for it. So... he did the last Saturnalians CD. He did the Space Cadet single. And there's more to come.
Yeah. Do you want to strum another one before we...
Yeah. Let's see.
Before I play a couple, I might line up. Play another one and then I'll...
So this one's from Louder. This was a song called The Boy with the Amplifier Head, which is where I got the name for the band. It was a song I wrote a long, long time ago. And in fact, if you ever see the picture of the boy with the amplifier head, that was painted by Adam Sherman.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Good, great artist, musically and otherwise.
Currently with the Eaters.
Currently with the Eaters. You know, I've known him since Private Lightning 100 years ago. But he heard the original boy with the amplifier head and sent me that painting, which is just amazing, you know.